Am I on? Can you hear me all right? Nicely done, by the way. Music and worship team, thank you. Great job. Well, I think we all know each other. I'm bad with names and faces, which is quite the obstacle. But anyway, I think we mostly know each other. I'm Dave McKinley. My family and I are half the family maybe is here. And I'm going to share with you today. But I want to first just, even though we've already said good morning, regardless of how much rain or puddles are out there, it is a good morning. And just want to welcome you. Thank you for coming in the midst of it. And today I want to encourage you by using the best thing I can do, which is use God's word. In and of myself, you know, I've never really been an encourager. Just ask my family. But today, with God's help, with his awesome word, we can build up one another and we can encourage one another. The Bible text for today is Hebrews 3:13, and thanks, Louie and Mike, for helping get me fixed up. So, as we've done before, why don't we stand, or as we do all the time pretty much, why don't we stand and read that together? It says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word, the purity, strength, and longevity of your word. Lord, we pray now that you would prepare hearts and minds, people to receive it. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's walked in this door carrying a heavy burden, whatever it may be, we pray that you would lighten their load, that you would minister to hearts and minds and spirits and bodies, all that is needed before we even start. That you'd prepare the ground to receive your word. We thank you for it and pray in Jesus' name. So I want to encourage you today. I want to start with a short video. I think it's just under 3 minutes. Are you familiar with America Reads the Bible? No. No? Did you? Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
For generations, the biblical story of Nehemiah has echoed as a call to rebuild, not just walls, but hearts. A scribe named Ezra, burdened by God, reawaken the people to their identity and calling through a national reading of God's law. Soon after, Nehemiah rallied the nation to fully rebuild their defenses in just 52 days. Today, America faces its own moment of decision, a culture adrift, leadership gaps across every sphere, families fractured, faith forgotten. In ancient Israel, it wasn't just Nehemiah who led. It was also Ezra, a scribe who stood before the people and read the word of God aloud. As scripture returned, revival followed. In 2026, as America marks 250 years old, a new nation of leaders will rise, Ezra's for our time, calling the nation back to its foundation. From every state, every background, every walk of life. Government leaders, artists, CEOs, pastors, parents, ordinary Americans, united in one purpose, to read the entire Bible aloud, Genesis to Revelation, over 7 days, broadcast to the nation. People will watch it and hear the precious words, in churches, in homes, in schools and offices, on screens all over, from rural America to our urban cities, nationwide. America Reads the Bible, a public declaration that scripture still speaks, that truth still matters, that God is not finished with America. From the World Stage Theater at the Museum of the Bible to landmarks across Washington, D.C., to other locations important to our national story. A week of scripture, worship, and witness. This is more than an event. It's a realignment, a reawakening, a return. April 18 through 25, 2026. America Reads the Bible. One week, one nation, one book.
Well, thank you. If you're anything like me, a lot of what we hear maybe goes in one ear and out the other. Or we don't get it the first time around. I think we have time this morning. We got off to a jerky start there. Is it easy enough to play that again? Now that you know what you're... Easy... Can that be done? Now that you know what we're listening to?
The biblical story of Nehemiah has echoed as a call to rebuild. Not just walls, but hearts. A scribe named Ezra, burdened by God, reawaken the people to their identity and calling through a national reading of God's law. Soon after, Nehemiah rallied the nation to fully rebuild their defenses in just 52 days. Today, America faces its own moment of decision, a culture adrift, leadership gaps across every sphere, families fractured, faith forgotten. In ancient Israel, it wasn't just Nehemiah who led. It was also Ezra, a scribe who stood before the people and read the word of God aloud. As scripture returned, revival followed. In 2026, as America marks 250 years old, a new nation of leaders will rise, Ezra's for our time, calling the nation back to its foundation. From every state, every background, every walk of life. Government leaders, artists, CEOs, pastors, parents, ordinary Americans, united in one purpose, to read the entire Bible aloud, Genesis to Revelation, over 7 days, broadcast to the nation. People will watch it and hear the precious words, in churches, in homes, in schools and offices, on screens all over, from rural America to our urban cities, nationwide. America Reads the Bible. A public declaration that scripture still speaks, that truth still matters, that God is not finished with America. From the World Stage Theater at the Museum of the Bible to landmarks across Washington, D.C., to other locations important to our national story, a week of scripture, worship, and witness. This is more than an event. It's a realignment, a reawakening, a return. April 18 through 25, 2026, America Reads the Bible. One week, one nation, one book.
Amen. Thank you. I wanted to ask Mike, I know you downloaded it, uploaded it, you did something with it. What's going on with that?
It's not quite ready yet. It should be published this week.
So this is coming up. This is the 18th of this month, right? I think that's what it said, 18th through 25. And I don't know, I was really encouraged by that. Hopefully you are really encouraged by that. The potential that exists there, if you've ever read in the Old Testament the account of Nehemiah and Ezra, and I have and just have so appreciated it, and I'm sure others have too, and to know what happened and know what the potential is now, especially at a time when we need it so desperately. Let's just take a moment, pray into that before we forget about it. Not that we will, but let's just pray. Lord, we've heard this. What's been proclaimed in this video, what's been planned. And Lord, we know about the power of your word. So we pray into this that if from the big picture, all the operations of this would go forward as planned, that the enemy would have no place in disruption, that hearts would be ready to receive, that in fact it would make a difference on this land and the hearts of individuals. We thank you for the opportunity. We look forward, Father, in expectation of the power of your word being broadcast openly and publicly and hopefully received widely, Lord God. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. What potential. Amen. I mean, I just want to encourage you with that, and I want to turn and tell you a little bit. Familiar verse in what it says about God's word in Isaiah 55, 10 through 12. Today's about encouragement. Some things won't always sound encouraging, but this does, and we can relate to it. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We can count on that. That's God's word. He's going to have his way. I hope his way includes what we're talking about for April 18 through 25, 26, whatever it was, because people are attempting to use God's word in a mighty way, and I pray that it works, that it takes hold. Wow, what possibilities. Think of the possibilities. We've prayed about the possibilities. We shouldn't be done praying about it. As the rain and the snow, so is the word. It will not return empty or void, but will accomplish what I desire, what God the Father, what Jesus Christ himself desires, and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. His word, for which he sent his word. We want to pray for our country. We want to pray for the people. Maybe not as important, but a reminder to pray for flooding in Sheboygan County. Lives can be disrupted. I don't think it's life and death, but you just don't know what can be unleashed out there. We have real needs. We're a needy people, and we've seen it more and more, just what the snow can do. I really like the snow. I guess I forgot when it gets 4 feet deep, it's kind of a hassle. So they're all prayers. And so is my word that goes out of my mouth, Jesus speaking. God's word, the Bible, is living and active. It's just thrilling to know part of our components of our country, people and parts, are willing to do what they're doing and proclaim that, and speak it 24/7, broadcast it. It's a wonderful thing. It displays the word of his power and the power of his word. It changes hearts and minds of a culture. The video set a culture adrift. Hey, there's good things going on in our culture, but there's a whole lot of bad. Our culture, our country is adrift, big time, big time. Hopefully we're reeling it back in. But the Bible going forward is our only hope. Do you believe it? Do you believe the Bible? Amen. Are you able to believe it cover to cover? Yes. Or are we indifferent? In part, indifferent to God's word. I was indifferent. I didn't even know really what the word meant. I had an idea. I was indifferent to the word of God. I was indifferent to Christ, to Jesus, until I met him. I was indifferent, but I believed in God. Indifferent, I thought, I better look that up. It sounds like I have an idea, but it means different things. In my case, and in relation to what we're speaking in the scripture here, an indifference one would have would be that they have very little interest. No particular interest. Or maybe a complete lack of interest. That could be indifferent, unconcerned, maybe a state of apathy. You know, for the first 20-some years of my life, I didn't think of God, I didn't think of the Bible, I didn't think of needing him. I really didn't think of him at any time for any reason that I can remember, unless maybe something happened or when the Holy Spirit really started knocking on my door. That was after, knocking on the door was after Becky and I got married back in 1973. So this happened after that. I think it was about 5 years after that. She had prayed for me to not be the person I was, and guess what? The Lord honored her prayer. She wasn't sure she liked it at first. But I was walking adrift. Many ways, my life had no meaning. I thought it had lots of meaning. There's a lot of things going on. I kind of thought I had, you know, the bull by the horns, you might say. But if this kind of sounds like anyone here or you know someone here, let's try to stop in our tracks. If someone here knows someone else that isn't here, what I meant to say, let's kind of try to stop on our tracks for a moment, for a time, and either us individually or others, help them to do the most important thing, which is call upon the name of the Lord. In Romans 10:13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, there's more wonder and riches to the salvation process, but if you call on the name of the Lord, he's going to know what you're doing. He's going to understand it. I mean, he already knows you and all about you, and he will respond on your behalf. I mean, why not? He's already shed his blood and died for you, for me, for us. Amen. We want to encourage others with Hebrews 13. Encourage one another daily. Well, it might be easier to do today than tomorrow. It says daily. As long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You mean that someone here or someone out there, Christian, could be hardened by sin's deceitfulness? It happens. The Word of God warns against it. It tells us to encourage. The Greek word for encourage, and by the way, a few of you here, not many, but a few of you here have heard a little bit of this in a few weeks ago in a Sunday morning Bible study, but the Greek word for encourage is parakaleo, probably not pronouncing that correctly, but para is to come alongside. Kaleo or kaleo is to call to one side for a desired behavior. So we're talking about encouraging one another. What is it? Well, it's coming alongside someone, and it's to call them out for something, maybe even something as a desired behavior. It has to do with comforting, and encourage often translated means to exhort. So it was important enough to be written in the book here, and Hebrews, Paul thought that it's worth recording, it's worth talking about, and it's take it from the church to the church to the church and share it. They didn't text it forward. They didn't download it. They sent a writing, and the writing we have today. Encourage daily as long as it's called today. Paul has a very important word of exhortation for all of us today, 2026. To do the same things now with one another in the church and family of God so that no one steps backwards. Stepping backwards doesn't sound so terrible, but if it's towards unbelief and hardening, the Bible tells us it can happen and there is a place of no return. Hebrews 3:12, let's go back a verse because where we started in verse 13, it says, but. Well, let's go to 12. What's it all about? But what? See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily. You mean our encouraging one another daily is that important? Has to do that one could actually settle into having a sinful, unbelieving heart, turning towards hardening of the heart. The key aspect here of today in this context and this application today is right now. Right now. Today. Not tomorrow. Today. And tomorrow. And daily. The application for today. So I got it easy today. I'm encouraging you right now. Now, what am I going to do tomorrow to encourage somebody? I saw Donna here earlier. I don't know if Donna's still here. Donna's an encourager. Many of you are encouragers. I don't think I'm much of an encourager, at least especially years ago, I was not an encourager. But the Bible will give you what you need. The Lord isn't sending us out to encourage one another with an empty bag of nothing. He's giving us, you know, tools and truths and the precious and almighty and powerful Word of God. So let's think about tomorrow. We have an urgent present tense opportunity today. And we're instructed today, not waiting till tomorrow and done daily. But how urgent or important is Paul's word of exhortation for us, April 12th, 2026? Has it been downgraded? I don't know. Let's look at what the word says. The book of Hebrews warns us about the dangers of spiritual apostasy more than any New Testament writing. Hebrews chapter 2 warns us about drifting away. Chapter 3 warns us against unbelief. Apostasy refers to a... Here's the scary part. You think, really? This happens to Christians? Apostasy is referring to a conscious, willful, and permanent abandonment of the faith in Jesus Christ by someone who previously professed it. You might say, well, I believe that's true because it says God's word, but we don't have to worry about that here. Well, Paul was writing it to all of us, even in this day. These are alarming warnings, but at the same time, this is full of encouragement because God shows us how to move forward. So let us build each other up daily with a testimony and the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Warnings don't ring out with the sound and feeling of encouragement, but they're not void of encouragement either. And even though we don't like it, warnings are necessary. I want to take a few more moments to look at a few other powerful key verses of exhortation and instruction. Hebrews 2:1. We talked about it a little bit, that it talks about drifting away. It says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we don't drift away. Now, most of the time when you'd hear that, I don't even think it would register. It's like, well, what do I have to do? I need to pay more careful attention. Well, that's easy. Check it off the list. Done. Move on. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Hebrews 3:14 says, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first, the confidence we had before. So we don't become indifferent. We know what indifferent means. What came to mind when I was thinking of indifferent, it sounds like the condition of maybe getting lukewarm. Do you remember what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea? What did he say? Now, do you think he really meant that? It's that repulsive, that spit out. That's what people just said. Because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm about ready to spit you out of my mouth. That's extreme. That sounds pretty extreme. It certainly can't be for anyone here today, or for anyone maybe in our family, or maybe it really can't be for anybody in the Christian church. Well, unfortunately, this is written to the Christian church. You know, the other night, this may not sound all that applicable, but I'm going to mention it because I think we have time. I don't know how many people burn wood. I'm just curious. Anybody? Really? So I can tell you all kinds of burning wood stories. You won't know the difference. But anyway, I burn wood. And I may know more about burning wood than Mary. Mary, I start about 2 fires a day. I don't burn wood 24/7. I keep my shop at home above freezing. I start a fire every day. In the house for enjoyment, I start a fire in the evening. When it burns out, it's done. I start 2 fires a day. Sometimes in the winter, I have 3 fires going. Garage, shop, house. I like burning wood. I like wood heat. I've done it for years and years and years. And the other day, sitting by the wood stove, well, I just sat down. I got up. I checked the door on the wood stove from the night before. And guess what? There was still wood in there. It wasn't all in there, but my fire went out. This isn't the first time I've seen it happen, but it just so happens the circumstances and conditions that I'm dealing with right now, burning wood, with the wood in particular, it's a little harder to keep a fire going. And the Lord said, it went out, didn't it? Why did it go out? Well, one reason it went out, it wasn't hot enough. I didn't have a bed of coals. I started the fire fresh. And when I start the fire, a lot of times I just whip it together with the paper and the kindling. I mean, if you want to arrange it perfectly, you can get a fire to burn great all the time, but you got to tend it a little bit. Now, is that a rather too basic of a comparison? But I don't think so. I think there's something to it. And the Lord indicated that there's something to the basics. We have to maintain the right ingredients. With a fire, if you want heat, and if you're going to throw a little bit of a wet piece of wood on, you better have it. You better have some good coals. There's all kinds of things in our lives where wet pieces of wood are going to get thrown on your fire. That's just a fact. In John 2, 24 and 25, it says, "See what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father, and this is what he promised us, even eternal life." So Hebrews, pay attention to what you've heard. That's Hebrews 2:1. Hebrews 3:14, hang on to what you heard before. John 2:24, see what you heard from the beginning remains in you. And the promise is eternal life. 1 Timothy 4:16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. I can tell you just with what's going on with the reading of the Bible, 24/7, and that proclamation, there's going to be some spiritual warfare going on. The enemy doesn't like that at all. He doesn't want that word being proclaimed. There's things going on before that. Some of it could be the flame, the heat turned down in a sense, but at the same time you could look at it and say that the heat being turned up. But just be aware of this. This is a spiritual warfare. I don't know for how long on the political scene I've heard people say, you know, they're talking about what this guy said and what this guy said and all these interminglings of activities on the political front. And they said, we don't know what's going on. Well, what's going on is the battle between good and evil, light and dark. It isn't politics. It plays itself out in politics. We have to have leaders. We should thank God for our leaders. But my brothers, if this is James 5:19, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from his sins and from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. We have a place, my brothers. If one of you could be a family member, watch your life and doctrine closely, 1 Timothy 4:16. Persevere in them. Because if you do, if you persevere in your doctrine and your life closely, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Yes, it's a testimony to Timothy, the pastor, but it's also a testimony for us here today. Amen. Watch your life and your doctrine. Doctrine here refers to foundational teachings of the Christian faith and the gospel message. What's your doctrine? The doctrine we're referring to would be what is your foundational teachings and what is your Christian faith? What is your gospel message? Now, this is interesting. It includes both the truth preached and its application to your life. So, what is it you believe? What are your underpinnings? Watch it closely, what you believe. But how does it affect your life? You have to watch your life. Not a bad idea to watch your life. We go to church, we do this, we do that. Are we moving forward? Or maybe we've taken a step backwards, like where we started in our text of encouraging one another daily, as long as it is called today, so we don't take steps backwards. The application to our life is ultimately important. How are we doing with that application? Watch your life and your doctrine closely. The interesting thing, I think, there, it doesn't just say watch your doctrine closely. What do you believe? So wait a minute now, take it a step farther. How's it coming out of your life? How is it playing out in your life? Today we have, right now, today, we have a present tense time for action. Spiritual vigilance, lived out through love, care, concern, and fellowship. This day in which we live today is a moment of opportunity. It's not a day for procrastination. There's too much at stake right now. You don't have to go back too far in history books, and the writing on the wall was there, now the reading on the pages has joined us as far as the decline of our nation. But enough of all of that. That being that which sounds and is in fact warnings. Let's look at it personally, what God has done for us. Just, I've got four portions of scripture here. I don't have a lot more for you, but what I have left is good. So John 1, 12 and 13 says, "To all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. Thank you, Lord God." 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that's who we are. Yes. Deuteronomy 31:8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. He will never leave you." He'll never leave you behind. He's not leaving us. The problem is some of his children are leaving him. John 14, 1 through 4 says, going, and that, I may have given you that one. I'm maybe going a little fast here. But John 14, and by the way, you may not have noticed it for a while, but there is Bibles in some of the chairs on every row. If you needed to pull one out, I believe you can get your hands on one probably most of the time. But John 14, 1 through 4 said, going, I'm supposed to read it. I got to read it first, and I think you can too. Yep. So, you've heard this portion of scripture before. It's a wonderful scripture. 14 starts out by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You know the way to the place where I am going. You've heard that one before. He's going to prepare a place for us. He left to do that a good amount of years ago, didn't he? What's really it's all very powerful and encouraging there, but the last verse, verse 4, you know the way to the place where I'm going. What is that way? It's him, it's Jesus. We know him. The way is Jesus. So we know how to get there. But he starts out, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." How do we deal with that? Trust in God and also trust in me. Regardless what we see happening out there. Have you trusted in his name and called on his name? If not, as Pastor says, why not? Jesus didn't come to cause he didn't want us to have troubled hearts. Not a trouble out of lack of relationship with him. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Call on him today as long as it is called today. It's another one of those action steps. It's for today. And each and every one of us are in need of him. I just got a couple more things here. I'm going to close with a song. And just so you have a chance to think about the song and after the song, what I'd like to do is take opportunity to close with prayer, encourage one another. Really nice to see you guys here today, Dave and Debbie. What I'd like to do, if we could, after the song, is for those in the body who would like to, just as you guys remain sitting, come up and if you guys are good or okay with laying hands on you, let's lay hands on these two. Let's encourage them today. Let's continue to encourage them tomorrow. Many of you know very well what they've been through. How you doing, Debbie?
Good.
Better today than yesterday?
Yep.
Well, we want to see that continue. So when the song is done, let's start by at least doing that. Gather around these two. Pray for them. And let's encourage one another. Let's do as the Lord leads as we get ready to leave this place today. Let's take action today. Let's take action tomorrow. Let's pray for one another, support one another, encourage one another, forgive one another, and thank and praise God for forgiving us and opening wide the gate of heaven. I'm going to stop there, Louis. I'm just going to tell you about the song. Many of you probably know it. Old song, 1977, pretty old. And probably some of you remember Don Francisco. He's alive. He sings this song as the Apostle Peter. So this would be Peter. Now, it's kind of a, I don't know what you talk, what this kind of a song is, but it's just him singing kind of quietly with guitar. So it needs to be turned up a little bit. And for you to get the most out of it, I would ask you to close your eyes and just try to put yourself there and listen in. And then after the song, let's gather around these two and just pray and close and see how the Lord leads.
You should ask Denise Newman up there too.
Well, you know what? 100% right, Denise.
Yes.
I'm sure you're in. But we don't want to stop there either. So, you know, after the song, let's move out and let's do some things. And for sure, Denise and anybody else, as the Lord leads, go encourage someone. Encourage them. Pray for them. Let's do for sure these three, and hopefully some others will feel led to be involved also. So thank you, everybody, and let's just enjoy. Get into this song.